Hello everyone. I'm Benoit. I'm going to talk about scaling secure network functions with VPP and my experience doing that with VPP. So let me go next slide. Okay. So about me, I'm working at Cisco in the cloud security business unit. I'm working on VPP for some years and almost 20 years of pushing packets around, which start to be a bit long, I guess. What I'm going to share with you is my experience with running a service which has 50K active IPsec tunnels. What it takes to get there with VPP. So that's roughly what we're going to cover. First, why is it so hard to scale IPsec? I'll go very briefly on VPP because you already had two talks about that. I'll share a bit what's going on with IPsec in VPP recently. And then I'll do a deep dive on what are the models of operations for IPsec and VPP, what is the scale in terms of tunnels, in terms of performance, in terms of memory. Then how do we automate that? And a brief wrap-up. All right, so why is it so hard to scale IPsec? So first, you have some scale requirements, like with SD-WAN system, for example, where all tunnels are automated, etc., you can have a lot of tunnels created to your headends, so to the thousands or tens of thousands. You also have functions like 5G UPF, for example, in mobile, where again you can have a lot of different tunnels with high bandwidth. You have the bandwidth issue, right? So some tunnels might require a very high bandwidth by themselves, and then when you aggregate all those tunnels together, you can have to process a lot of throughput. And finally, when you have a lot of different customers, like different companies, etc., obviously you cannot use the same routing tables for everyone. And so there's also a challenge in terms of scaling the number of berths. And if you look at what we traditionally do, you can use, obviously, the Linux kernel IPsec stack, which is well-known and very robust. But it has limited performance compared to what we can do. And also, sometimes it can be a challenge to operate in containerized environments because you don't necessarily have the admin rights to actually operate those tunnels. Again, if you need a lot of berths, it can be a challenge. When you want to operate at that scale, you really, really want something that is programmable. Otherwise, if you do everything with shell scripts and things like this, it can really become very complex very quickly. So VPP, for those who are not there for the previous talks, it's an open source software that runs in user space and that does packet processing. It's a full network stack. So there is routing, there is tunneling. Now we also have session management, etc. It runs on different platforms, mostly x86 and ARM servers and DPUs. And one of the key differentiation with VPP is the performance and the scale. And you also have the ability to customize the processing thanks to the pluggable architecture of VPP. So we heavily use that property in our systems. So we have the ability to pick and choose really which feature we want and how we want to plug them. And again, it's very important to have something completely API driven for automation. All right, so despite IPsec being quite an old protocol, and you know, there are more modern and sexy protocols like WireGuard, for example, there's still a lot of activity in IPsec and in VPP IPsec, and it's still king in enterprise. So we still have performance optimization in IPsec. We still have new features supported in IPsec, and I see that Matt is over there, who contributed the NAT support for that for IPv6. So I guess, as an aside, I guess that means that IPv6 is probably ready for production now that we have to care for NAT. And yeah, so a lot of things that are happening in that space. In VPP, you have mostly three models of operations for IPsec. You have the traditional policy-based mode of operations. So in policy-based IPsec, it's a bit of a legacy mode, if you will. You basically enter rules to match which traffic should go into which tunnel. So you might say, all the traffic destined to those address range to port 80 must go through the tunnel, but not that kind of traffic, right? So you can mix and match which traffic you want to go through which tunnel. It was one of the first mode of operation for IPsec, so it's still quite widely used. The thing is, when you scale the number of tunnels, you scale the number of rules, and rules are expensive. So in terms of scale, one thing to be aware of is be conscious about the number of rules, and be aware that caching, for example, for those rules, verdicts are important, and we'll see that later. Second mode of operation is point-to-point interfaces. So in that mode, it's more intuitive. You create one virtual interface per tunnel, and you just configure your routing tables to say, okay, all traffic destined to those prefixes must go through my interface, which is my tunnel. In terms of scale, again, here the challenge is for each tunnel, you need one interface. So if you have 100 tunnels, that's okay. But if you start to have tens of thousands of tunnels, it starts to be a challenge. And finally, the last mode is point to multipoint. So in that mode, again, you represent tunnels as an interface, but you have a single interface for all your tunnels, and you disambiguate between all those tunnels based on the next hop. So when you program your routing, you say, okay, all traffic destined to this specific prefix must go through my IPsec interface, which is my virtual interface, but to this next hop. And the next hop is actually your peer, so the endpoint of the remote endpoint of the tunnel. So in that model, you can have a single interface and a lot of different tunnels. So it's more scalable. In terms of performance, there are quite a lot of difference. So all those figures were taken from CSIT that Maciek just presented before. CSIT for us is great because we have a trove of performance data on a trove of platform, and we can compare different scenarios. So those are a few of them. So here, for example, that's the test with 10,000 tunnels, 10,000 IPsec tunnels, using IES 256 GCM on Intel Ice Lake. And we accept 0.5% of packet drop. And you can see that the default policy mode, for example, doesn't perform very well and doesn't scale very well. If you enable the cache, which is the second column for policy mode, it's much, much better. Because in that case, you no longer have to evaluate all the rules for every packet. But once you evaluate the rules once, you cache the verdict, and you have a kind of flow table that keeps that verdict. So when the next packets come through, you just match the session. You say, OK, I know the rule. I know where to send it. And finally, you can see that for the point-to-point mode, and point-to-multipoint would be similar in terms of performance, for the point-to-point mode, it has a bit better performance because here you don't have the rule matching. You go through the regular FIB lookup, which is very, very optimized. And you can see that it scales pretty well. So the takeaway here is, if you use policy mode, don't forget to enable the cache. In terms of performance and scale, there is another issue, which is the maximum performance you can get in terms of cryptography from a single core. Because it's not necessarily easy to distribute the processing of an IPsec tunnel on multiple cores, because when you start to do that, you start to run into issues with packet reordering and that kind of stuff. So there are means to avoid that, but it makes things more complex. So usually, we try to keep one tunnel on one core. But if we do that, we are limited to the performance of a single core. So you can see that VPP can do almost 30 gigabits per second on a single core with Emerald Rapids, which is already good. But if you know you require to support 40 gig, then you need something else. And this is where asynchronous crypto comes in. That's a mode of operations where IPsec, the IPsec stack in VPP, can offload crypto operations to other cores or to hardware accelerators. So here, all those figures are with software. So we offload operations to other cores, but you can also offload on hardware accelerators. And in that mode, that allows us to go to much higher performance for a single tunnel first. So here, for example, with four cores, we can process up to 70 gigabits per second for a single IPsec tunnel. But the other benefit is for the load imbalance. So when you have a multi-tenanted system, what can happen is you don't control the distribution of the tunnels on the core, because that is controlled by the hardware, which load balance the flows on the cores. So what can happen is you can get unlucky, and you can have two big tunnels ending on the same cores. And in that case, you are going to be bottlenecked by your performance, right? So again, asynchronous crypto helps in that, because it spreads the crypto workload, which is the most intensive workload here, on multiple cores, and so it makes sure that it's more balanced. So that helps. Finally, last scale issue that you're likely to encounter is the memory consumption. So especially IPv4 FIB is in VPP. It's implemented with an mTRI. It's a pretty traditional way to do it. It's efficient, but it can consume a lot of memory depending on how you structure it. The default in VPP is 1688, and that gives you better performance, because at worst you do three lookups. But that consume much more memory. So you also have an implementation with 888, and that is something you want to use if you have a lot of verfs, because it's really, really decreases the memory. For us, it's the difference between having to use 50 gig of memory versus 10 gig of memory, for example. And also it's critical in terms of operation. Finally, automation. VPP exposes a binary API, and we have different bindings for that. What works very well for us is to write our agent in Golang. So we have the agent, which is basically the local brain that controls the VPP programming, and that takes all the data coming from the control plane, management plane. Using Golang is nice, because we can integrate with a lot of high quality library, like to consume HCD, to consume BGP, and Maxim will talk about GoBGP later, that we use a lot to plug our system with BGP. So using an agent in Golang is really great for that. So I really recommend. And so to wrap up, so first identify the IPsec mode you want to use. The easier to use and manage is point to point usually, but it doesn't grow past 100 of tunnels. And then point to multipoint is probably the one to consider unless you have the requirements for policy mode. I think crypto, you should really use that because it prevents noise neighbor. It gives you more performance for single tunnels. Memory, don't forget about the IPv4 MPRI that can really consume a lot of memory. And then, yeah, Golang for agents is great in my experience. And with that, we have some time for questions.